listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
To the show, as you always are at this time on Fridays, 11 o'clock in the morning Pacific Standard Time. You are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. That's your friendly psychologist. Sort of. Sometimes. I try to help you out here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk radio station on the internet. And during this hour, I try to help you out with issues, relationship questions, feelings, thoughts, stuff to do with psychology, mostly. And I encourage you to contact me if you have any questions or comments, or if you want to comment on another listener's problem or try to help them solve their problems, you can do so. You can find me at my website, drmichelletherapy.com, and it's abbreviated. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Dr. Michelle with two L's. I spell my name with two L's. drmichelletherapy.com. All right. And if you'd like to write me, of course, you can link on to my LA Talk Radio email address. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Today, I'm going to be doing what I call Free for All Friday, where I read listeners' questions and help you out, hopefully on the air. Hopefully you all who wrote me are listening today. I did contact you and let you know that I will be trying to tackle and talk about your issue. So hopefully you've tuned in. If you'd like to call, speaking about which, you can find me here in beautiful Los Angeles at the area code 323-203-0815. If you have problems, issues, things you want to talk about, go ahead and give me a call. You're welcome to be on my couch and we can talk about it. 323-203-0815. I am Dr. Michelle Cohen. And it's great to be with you today. New study just came out this morning, by the way. Well, it was released to the media. It's been out for a while, but they're talking about men and how sexy they can be to women. I thought it was pretty cool because they're talking about, remember, John Travolta was into something. You can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, right? Well, according to this study, women are most attracted to guy dancers who have big flamboyant moves. Very similar to what John Travolta had. Not one of those weird guys flailing their arms around, you know, like, you know, that you really hate to be with and you slowly move off the dance floor with if they're embarrassing you. Well, there's a bunch of colleagues, Chris McCarty, at the University of Göttingen in Germany. They asked 19 men aged 18 to 35, who were not professional dancers, to dance in a laboratory for 1 minute to a basic rhythm. They filmed the guy's movements with a dozen cameras, and then they turned those movements into computer-generated avatars. Yeah, they're doing avatars. So the study could focus on moves and not appearances. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And then scientists then showed the dancing avatars to 37 women. So they weren't like, oh, he's a good-looking guy. And even though he danced really stupid and was all over the place, he was still cute. So you couldn't tell what the guy looked like, per se. They were all turned into avatars, which looked the same, right? And so the women had to rate their skills on a scale of 1 to 7. And according to the women in the study, the best dancers were those who had a wide range of dance moves and who focused on the head. Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. Neck. Move the neck and the upper body, the torso. So the research was published this week. So here's the deal. They said that there are similarities between animal mating rituals and what happens in modern dance clubs. Isn't that wonderful how scientists break this down to just being complete animals? Well, it's true. So here's the deal. There's lots of cues females use when choosing a mate. Here's what some of the researchers found. Like a peacock puffing out its tail, right? You know, guys like stand up straight and they put their chest out. Yeah. Okay. dancing for humans could signal whether a male is fit because it requires the expenditure of a lot of energy. And you know what that means? Yeah, baby. He's a sexy guy. He can last longer. I mean, you know, this is all interesting. So, and different cultures, by the way, have different criteria for what constitutes good dancing. So what they found out was the movements around the head, neck, and trunk were the most important in our society here in America. Yeah? The good dancers had lots of different movements and used them with flair and creativity. Okay? It's like courtship rituals. So the guys who had good rhythm... really? You gotta have rhythm, man. Guys who knew how to move their head, their neck, and their upper bodies, kind of sexy-like, got all the kudos from women saying he would be a great guy in bed. He would be a really sexy partner to have. So that's the latest research that came out today, and they're putting it out to the media. So guys, if you don't know how to dance, go get a teacher and learn how to dance. Or if you have a good friend who knows how to dance and, you know, looks kind of sexy to go out to the clubs and they get all the ladies, why don't you let him give you a couple of lessons? You know what I'm saying? Like that scene with Will Smith. Yeah, the guy who, you remember the movie, of course. All right, there you go. Latest research on dancing. So, guys, get it together. If you're out about among them dancing in clubs and you want to attract girls, learn how to dance. Learn how to move your head, your neck, and your upper torso sexy-like. And please get rhythm. Okay. All right, we're going to move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are this time on Fridays on LA Talk Radio. If you want to email me, as most of our listeners did today, to ask questions about much of anything, usually dealing with relationships or feelings, self-esteem, depression, anxiety, stuff going on that you don't like, you can find me at docmichelle@aol.com. Right here on the webpage, you can click to my links and my website as well. And then just go ahead and ask me. Ask me! And I will check it out and call you, see if it's cool with you, or email you back, see if it's cool with you. And then I'll try to help you out. A lot of this is, completely discreet. And you and I don't really have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving advice here and hopefully entertainment and hopefully putting out some professional ideas, things that I've learned. All righty. This is kind of serious, this one, and let's just jump into this. This is from Carrie, and she says, "Hey, Doc, I'm worried about my best friend. She married this guy who I never really liked about 3 years ago. They don't have any kids yet and decided to get their finances together first. The thing that's concerning me is that over the years, her husband has slowly turned into this controlling guy. I don't think that he physically abuses her, but he's doing strange passive-aggressive, as you would call it, in parentheses, things. Okay. My friend comes over and she cries on my shoulder about some of the things that her husband does, but says that she feels that it is impossible for her to exist without him. I told her that she should listen to you today to help her out because she's too embarrassed to contact you. Please tell her what are signs that her husband may be abusing her. Help! Carrie!" All right, this is kind of concerning me because if she feels that it's absolutely impossible for her to exist without this guy, you told me that, that's really a serious warning signal. She's really dependent. And, you know, it's a different story. I mean, if we're feeling dependent, if we're really sick, you know, or we're going through really bad times. You know what I'm saying? But then it's time to get back on our feet. You know, sometimes we down, we get fired from jobs, we have issues with our families, and, you know, we're whatever. So we need our spouse to just kind of be there for us and take control and take over. And you say things like, God, I couldn't exist without you. You've helped me so much. But if you're too dependent on somebody else, it's really kind of dangerous. So let me tell you some of the things that guys who are controlling do. And you can make a checklist to see if he's doing this to you, if you're listening out there, Carrie's friend. A biggie is withholding approval. We all get mad with partners, right? We all get upset. And we don't like them very much when we're really pissed at them. But the love should not waver. So when somebody's using your need for their love and approval to get you to do things, something's wrong. Withholding approval. They're withholding their love. They're withholding caressing. They're withholding lovemaking. Now, I've not heard a lot of guys who do that. That's pretty weird if they do. But anyway, that's just an idea that, you know, something I just want to put out there. A big one is guilt tripping. You know, this is very manipulating. Can be somewhat abusive. Sometimes guilt trips can be recognized by things like, if you loved me, you would blank, or after all I've done for you, you know what I'm saying? So if this person is coming off like, you know, they're controlling you by making you feel guilty, that's a big sign too. Now, I don't know, Carrie, if your friend's husband has money matters or issues, but it's like the oldest and the worst way of manipulating somebody. If you have to literally beg for every penny you wish to spend, especially if it's your own hard-earned money, you're being manipulated. I have couples who have come to see me in the past who both work, and the man or the woman is the main accountant, pays the bills for the family, and they withhold information about income, which is really sick, and about the money they have. They have to share and be open about it. You know, it's under the guise of, I don't want any unnecessary expenditures. Unless the person's a, you know, spendaholic, and then you go get them help and have them go to groups and all that. Anyway, this is a big way to control someone and be somewhat abusive. Also, personal attacks. All right? And I'm not sure what your friend feels about herself. But if she thinks really little of herself because she's constantly being put down, both in private and in front of others by her husband, the problem is she's going to do almost anything to win the approval of him. So if she's always trying to, and she's complaining to you, but she's feeling like she's a puppet. You know, if she feels unattractive and unworthy, this is a biggie. So I hope you're listening. I don't know your name. But other signs of an abusive relationship, here we go. You consistently find yourself having to do unpleasant tasks. You keep on having to foot the bill for a lot of financial things. Now, you don't have to fulfill all these criteria. I'm just saying about three will kind of make you think, maybe I'm in a somewhat abusive relationship with someone. There are frequent cutting comments about your appearance or your character. Okay? You find yourself doing things for them what they would never do for you. And if you show any resistance, you are made to feel worthless and stupid. This is abuse. All right? If you're always expected to put your own wishes second, this is an abusive type of behavior. If you can't have a normal discussion with him to tell him your feelings, and he gets aggressive, and then he refuses to discuss the issue at hand or starts screaming, that's abusive. If you find yourself constantly apologizing about things that weren't your fault, look at your own behavior. Okay? And if you're made to doubt your own feelings and opinions, and your validity of those things is kind of like, what do you know? That's really some serious stuff. So think about that, and I hope I helped you, Carrie, to talk to your friend to see if she is in an abusive relationship, and I hope maybe she's listening. So I just give you some ideas of things that really are not healthy if this guy is doing that to her. All right? This is Dr. Michelle with you. We are doing Free for All Friday, where I'm helping you out with a lot of different questions that you have written me. On docmichelle@aol.com, that's, of course, the radio station email address, you know, where you can find me and ask me questions. And, of course, here on the webpage of LA Talk Radio, you can find my other links, my webpage and stuff like that. Okay, let's keep moving on here. Let me see if I can get one that is really very common so I can help out a lot of people. All right, cool. This one's about relationship trust. Dear Doc, I kind of messed up a couple of times with my fiancé. I didn't want her to be upset, so I lied to her twice when I went out for a drink after work with my assistant. Uh-oh. Both times I told her that the whole gang from work went out to have a drink because we were all just stressed. The problem is, uh-oh, this is where he gets busted, huh? One of my fiancé's friends saw me in a bar alone with his coworker Monday night and told my fiancé. When she asked me about it, I told her that everyone else had left earlier. Mm-hmm. And my assistant was just talking about business. I'm not interested in this coworker, but now my girlfriend says she doesn't trust me and gets mad when I say that I'm going to be with the guys on sports night, which is true, or going for a drink with a friend, which is a guy, usually. How can I get her to trust me? Because I really love her. Well, Brett, you should not have lied to her in the first place. If there was no problem and there was something that you were not keeping from her, why did you lie? I mean, what are you doing with this assistant? What are you talking business, going out to a bar, talking business with your assistant after work? I wouldn't trust you. Why did you lie to her? What is so important about business that you have to talk to your assistant after work? In a bar. Okay? So think about that. That, you know, that creeps a lot of women out. It's really, no. It's not okay. It's a big not okay. I don't know if I trust you. I really don't. So, oh, God. Trust is so important. It's the biggie. You know? So what you have to do is you have to get your act together and you have to start doing things so she can develop trust in you. Okay? Because what's going to happen? Because now that you've got busted and I don't know anything about really what you're doing with this assistant, but you say it's innocent. Okay? What you have to do is you have to stop taking her out for a drink after work or stop being with her one-on-one. You can talk to her about work issues at work. Or you can take the whole gang out for lunch and sit and talk to her about work. You see what I'm saying? This is not okay. And I wouldn't like it either if I was your girlfriend, your fiance, whatever. So here's what you have to do. You have to start making good. You have to start being trustworthy. So you have to be consistent. And I'm not talking about consistent in your lies. You have to be on time. You have to show her that you really heard her and that you would never hurt her. And you need to tell her that it's purely business and I screwed up and I will never do that again. That's all you have to do. Do what you say you're going to do. Do not lie, not even little white lies, to your partner. Don't do it. Be honest. Ask if you have to talk to your assistant in a bar about work issues. Have your fiancé join you. Then she can hear everything you're talking about. In order for you to gain trust, you have to be fair. And you have to be sensitive to her feelings. All right? And don't disagree. Don't do things like call when you say you're going to. If you're going to be a little late, call her. Just have her start to trust you. Don't overreact. You know, when things go wrong, don't say things you can't take back. You know, just respect her boundaries. Be a good listener. Just show her that, you know, you heard what she said and you're not going to do that anymore. That's mine. Just stop taking your assistant out. It's okay for you to go with the gang to have a drink, I guess, after work. That's cool, I guess. But when you're ending up with your assistant one-on-one in the bar, doesn't look good. And you say it's innocent? Okay. Don't do it. I don't like it. I don't think it's really good. And I wouldn't like it if I were your fiancé either. I'd start to really not trust you. Okay, let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle, by the way. And you can email me if you'd like to have some questions answered. You know, if you have any things that you would like to put out there, you have issues yourself or self-esteem stuff, depression, anxiety, something like that. You can give me a write. I'd love to hear from you. DocMichelle at AOL.com. And you are at LA Talk Radio right now, the world's most listened to talk internet radio station. We're talking about relationships today, and I'm answering a lot of questions right here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Alrighty. All right, here we go. Dear Doc, my girlfriend of 1 year has been depressed off and on since I've known her. Okay. She's the sweetest, most loving person I've ever met. And I think she is the one. The question I have is, how can I help her when she gets so down? Okay. It's kind of, you know, you are with her. You've been with her now for a year. And I hope you know her history. If she has a history of, like, major depressive disorder or, as we call it, dysphoria, you know, sometimes depression, people go in waves, kind of up and down. Doesn't sound like she has manic-y things like bipolar things. Just seems to me like she's, you know, depressed. So just be there for her and listen. It's always nice to just kind of say, I don't really know exactly how you're feeling, but I'm trying to understand and help. That's all you need to say. A lot of times when people are really depressed, they don't want to hear, I understand what you're going through, because I don't know if you do. You know, it's really difficult. Depression's a heavy-duty thing, chronic depression. So, you know, a lot of people who are depressed also lose interest in sex. It's not personal, but it's kind of connected with the illness, so don't despair. You know, sometimes you'll feel that your love for your partner doesn't seem to make any difference to them at all, but hang in there. If you love her, it does. You know, your constant support should be of great help. And do encourage her to get professional help. You know, there's lots of alternatives out there. I'm not an advocate of, you know, big medication pusher, but I've seen people change their lives who have gone on simple antidepressants. People who have bipolar disorder on, you know, mood stabilizers, that kind of thing. But there's, you know, there's different. Have her go to, if she's afraid of a psychiatrist. Some people are. They think that they're, you know, tagged as like, I have a mental illness. Have her go to her general practitioner, her internist, and say, I'm depressed a lot. This is what I'm doing. Can you get me something that might help? Okay. Also, there's alternatives like going to a therapist who does cognitive behavioral therapy. It's really readily available. It's out there. You know, just give her a lot of love. And don't expect improvement to be rapid. If she's been depressed off and on for a year, you know, she's going to be a depressed person probably. I don't know. You didn't explain if something like major tragically happened in her life, if she's going through grief stages or whatever. But, if she has a depressive disorder, it's sometimes a roller coaster. But this can be helped. It can be helped through therapy and sometimes medications. All right? And try to just keep thinking that this will pass. And your partner is the same person underneath. That's the same person you love. Depression doesn't mean, you know, that he or she, I guess it's a she, your girlfriend, you know, is a bad person. Try to do things together. Try to get her up and do things together. Go exercise. Take a walk. Get into, like, I don't know, get into a sport together. Go hiking. Find interests together. Do stuff together. Get her off her own mind and out of her head. Get her up and out. Now, I don't know how hard you've tried to do this, and if you feel like you're a caregiver, and if that's the case, you better think twice about this relationship. Because if you don't want to play the role of a caregiver to someone who may not be wanting to get help, she's probably not going to change. You know, so just think about this. If you're in love with her, encourage her to get help, be there for her and all that. But if she's not wanting to get help, you're going to be a caregiver. And then you're going to resent her, and then that's going to be a drag. It's just going to mess up everything. You see what I'm saying? There you go. I hope I helped you out. And I don't mean to be a downer or anything, because these people can be, you know, these people. We all can be helped with any. We all go through depressive periods. We all go through trauma. You know, we call it an adjustment disorder, adjusting to environmental stressors. We have depression, or we have anxiety. We have, you know, stuff like that. So everybody has it. If this is chronic for her, she needs to get some help. Seriously, jump into it. Get some help. If you love her, wonderful, and you're a great guy. Hang in there, baby. All right, Dr. Michelle with you here, and I'm taking, I'll take your calls at this time. I'm doing a lot of Free for All Friday mail. I'm answering a lot of listeners' questions. Who wrote me at docmichelle@AOL.com? And you can call me, by the way, live if you'd like. The number is 323-203-0815, and that's in beautiful Los Angeles area, where all of the entertainment industry is. All right. I have a cool article that I wanted to share with you. It's some of the most common relationship questions asked by women. And, you know, we get insecure about guys. And guys, professionals, and men in general, they took a poll of answers. And these are like little questions that nag at women that they really don't understand about guys. And they want to know the answers to. So this came out from Glamour.com, Glamour magazine. And these are the most common relationship questions asked by women about men. And here are some of the best answers that guys gave, that the majority of guys gave. So there was a lot of folks who were really behind these answers. And here we go. So, and I hear this a lot. You may hear this a lot or feel this, girls. Why is he not calling me back? Most of the men answered that he doesn't like you enough. Like the movie? He's just not that into you. Okay? He's busy. However you want to phrase it. There's meaning in that absence. Move along. Next. These are all the answers that the majority of the guys gave. Why are you waiting by the phone anyway? He should be waiting for you. So if that helps you out a little bit, why is he not calling me back? Move on. Put it out there a couple of times. Give him a chance to respond, and then move on. There you go. Okay, here we go. Another most common relationship questions asked by women. Why is he treating me differently in front of his friends? Has that ever happened to you? You know about those guys? Yeah, they treat me differently. They don't treat me very nicely, or they don't pay attention to me when they're in front of their friends. They're the clown. They're not sitting there holding my hand at the club, or they're not sitting there with their arm around me, or they're not including me. Sometimes they're always talking about other things with their guy friends. Well, the reason why he's treating you so differently in front of his friends is maybe because he's insecure. And you got to talk to somebody and say, are you worried that you'll only like me if you're one way? You know, and then his friends will only like him if he's another way. Why are you so insecure? What's up with that? So a lot of guys said that. A lot of guys said, you know, you can be yourself and you don't have to act like one of the guys when you're with the guys, when you're with your girl. You can act like one of the guys when you're just with the guys. But when the lady's there, you know, get off this how you have to act. All right. Another most common question asked by women and best answers by men. Why is he not saying I love you back? It's either he's scared or he doesn't feel that way. Okay. A lot of the other guys responded by saying, why do you need to hear it so badly? Maybe your relationship isn't quite there yet. See, for some people that means this is how I feel about you always. Not just at the particular moment it's set. That's a lot of times when, right? Start getting relationships and you're hooking up and I love you. Yeah. Maybe a guy, you know, holds off because he just wants to make sure. He may not be a commitment phobe. It's just not ready for him. Okay. That was the answer given by most of the guys to the most common relationship questions asked by women about men. Here's another good one, which I really think is kind of cool. Why is he always playing video games? And the most common answer from the guys was, video games are super fun. You women don't get it. Most of you. You get to be a soldier, a hero, a knight, or a really cool plumber all in one day. They relieve stress and are purposefully completely mindless. All right? Figure out what an acceptable amount of video game time is for your man and then let him have it. He needs to download. Makes him feel better about himself. Get off his back. Good answer. All right? Another one of the most common relationship questions asked by women and men answered was, why is he affectionate one moment, distant the next? And the simple answer was, we are complicated creatures with complex feelings. We are not Joey from Friends. Feelings take time to straighten out, especially at the beginning, and men many times go quiet because they're thinking about it, or they don't want to deal with it right away. Understand that. Okay, that's a good answer by the majority of guys who wrote back. Okay. Now, this was interesting, too. Another most common relationship question asked by women about men in Glamour.com. Why is it so important to him that I'm thin? And the majority of guys answered, it's not. We love curves. We love butts, muscles, arms, and stamina. Find a guy who appreciates that in you. If you're fat, that means you don't care about how you look or are sending out stay away signs. That's something different. Most guys get that. It means stay away. I'm not taking care of myself. But you don't have to be skinny. Most guys love curves. That's what the answer was. All right. Another common relationship question asked by women, why isn't he into cuddling after sex? And the men answered, we're wired differently than you. After we finish, we're spent. Your hormones and blood flow are still going nuts, and you want all those feelings of physical intimacy that are at this point gone with our expended fluids. You know what I'm talking about, girls? Yeah. Well, there you go. The guys are being honest. Okay. Another most common relationship question asked by women about men and answered by men. Why is it so important to him that I be his girlfriend? Now, this is interesting. The guys answer, just like you, believe it or not, some guys need to know where we stand. And just like you, sometimes we can't stand the idea of sharing. Some guys cannot actually handle the idea of something casual. We're not all dogs. Good answer. So you got to find a guy who is into wanting a girlfriend, right? Okay? Unless you're, you know, or if you're not into that, you don't want that, then make it clear with the guy that what it's all about, your sexual relationship. You see? Okay. Another most commonly asked relationship question by women, last and certainly not least, that I found was interesting is, why is he into porn? Am I not enough? Oh, how many times have I heard that? All right. The response most popular by men was, this has nothing to do with you. Nothing. It's like asking why we like eating at restaurants. Does that mean your cooking is not good enough? Sometimes we just want to sample different foods cooked by a pro. We don't want to live at the restaurant. We're not looking to become a busboy. We just want to try the food. I don't know. It's kind of a crass answer. But I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You know what these guys are saying, basically. They're guys. They're wired differently. You know, women aren't as much into porn. Guys are visual. That's it. They're visual. You know, they think about sex a lot more often than we do, and that's the way it is. All right. And there you go. The most common relationship questions asked by women about men, answered by the majority of men. And that comes off the Glamour.com website, which was a great survey. I really enjoyed reading that because it's really interesting what a lot of guys will say and answer. And, you know, truthfully, we get the true answers there, which I think is kind of cool. All righty, here we go. Let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, by the way. You are on the couch with me, and as you are always at this time on Fridays, 11 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, and you are on the couch where I try to help you find problem-solving strategies. Or whatever. Or I can just tell you to knock it off, get a life, stop being so narcissistic, whatever the issue is. I try to help you out. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship, you know. But, I mean, I'm giving you some ideas, suggestions. And, by the way, if you'd like to comment on some of my ideas and suggestions, you can do so. I get this all the time. DocMichelle@AOL.com. DocMichelle@AOL.com. I'll help you out if you would like. All righty. Hi, Doc. My girlfriend sometimes blows up at me for stupid reasons. Like, I wasn't thoughtful enough of her. Or she accuses me of cheating. She is moody and depressed a lot lately and has been going to a therapist. The thing is that she usually apologizes but said that she is like this because she grew up with an alcoholic dad who used to verbally abuse her and physically abuse her mom. I love her and I don't know what to do about helping her. She says she's still traumatized by her upbringing, but it doesn't seem like she wants to change. Can you help me understand her better? Well, I'm really glad that there's no name here, but I'm really glad that she's getting some help. I'm glad she's going to see a therapist because, you know, it is very traumatizing. I would suggest that you have her go to Al-Anon groups as well. You know, children of alcoholics groups, supportive groups. They're really good. You really learn a lot in those groups sometimes. You know, she can, you know, share a lot of her stuff as well outside the individual therapeutic relationship she has. It's a really good group. So you might ask her to go there, and you can go there with her. Or if she's too embarrassed, then let her go by herself. But you might check out some of the Al-Anon groups in your area and help her out. So here's the thing. She's externalizing blame. And it's common, and it's normal, and we are all traumatized by negative experiences when we're kids. You know, the woman who is married to a verbally abusive, selfish guy and doesn't, you know, bail on this relationship has a right to blame her past environment. You know, she keeps picking the wrong guy. You sound like a nice guy. You seem like you want to help her. You know, and they have a right to blame their perpetrator. The problem is when the blame continues for years and there's no change, and then it becomes destructive to somebody's personality. Right? I'm trying to think who the comedian was. I'm talking about a lot of the Hollywood actors that would whine and complain about their past. I mean, that's, you know, real common kind of comedy routine, their substance abuse and their promiscuity. And it was a direct result of their inattentiveness by parents. Right. Oh, my family was alcoholics and, you know, and the whatever. And they have this whole thing on, you know, this is why I've had these problems. And then, you know, and they said that what therapists should just say is shut the hell up. Get over it. Next. Well, I don't know about that. I think it's important to have a venue for people to, you know, share their experiences and feelings. But then you do need to move on. And you need to recognize that past relationships that were unhealthy are past. And you have to think about why she gives her dad the power to continuously affect her future. She hopefully will start learning to stop blaming the past. I'm not being abused anymore. I'm done. You sound like a nice guy, like I said. So she needs to keep reinforcing and showing how she is a different, healthier person. And she also needs to kind of make a transition and realize that the trauma and the abuse shaped her. It shaped her to not only be a stronger person, but also maybe she can help others in similar situations. She can kind of reach out. Stop externalizing blame. You know? And it's really a good thing to kind of try to move on. We can keep going over and over and over issues and past horrid experiences. But the problem is it keeps reinforcing the memory and it really builds neural memories. And it keeps reinforced right back there. Right? What I try to do is get people moving on and forward with their lives. Make plans and make some changes. It really helps. Because we can dwell forever and get lost in that pool of, oh my God, my life was horrible. You know, you need to move on. You need to make plans on how you're going to move on. So you need to have a little cognitive behavioral. Change your thinking. Change your actions. Start doing things that are different. And, you know, I'm a different, healthier person. That's it. Okay? So I'm just trying to give you ideas. Encourage her to keep going to therapy. Hopefully she's listening today. Maybe that'll help you out. You know, keep giving her support and love and all that. And, yeah, a lot of us have had really traumatic experiences growing up. So, yeah, it can eat your soul alive. It really can. And it won't allow her to give you the love that you need. And she could possibly lose you. You know, she needs to forgive herself. You know, there's a lot of self-blame growing up in alcoholic families because we always feel responsible as children. For some damn reason, we do. You know, it was our fault or we're bad or we're not good enough or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really kind of weird. All righty. So there you go. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and I'm just trying to help you. If you'd like any, you know, advice online privately, you can do docmichelle@AOL.com. You can do that, and then I'll try to write you back. Or if you'd like me to help you out on the air, go for it. And you can link onto my website is drmichelletherapy.com right here on the LA Talk Radio website. You can find me there. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but, you know, I can try to give you some suggestions and things like that. And then we'll go from there. All right. Here we go. We're going to move on to, and this is from, who is this? Okay. This is from Brian. Dear Dr. Michelle, I need some problem solving strategies. You talked about conflict resolution. I need to learn how to argue in a more constructive manner. I heard you talk about that several weeks ago. Okay? My girlfriend and I fight a lot, but it seems like she always continues to lengthen out the argument, and she picks on me. I love her, but I'm getting tired of these ongoing issues. All right, this is what I call having you detox from the drama. Okay. Sounds to me like you're feeling a little used or a little beat down. You're not a victim. It's your choice whether to react or how to react. If she's picking on you a lot, she's fighting with you a lot, you got to be honest with yourself. Okay? So when you guys are fighting and she's picking at you and she's yelling at you, Are your comments directed towards resolution, or are you looking for payback? Are you looking to one-up? Are you just getting pissed and blowing up at her? So if your comments coming back at her are blaming and hurtful, you got to take a deep breath and change your strategy. You have to change it up a little bit. All right? Just thinking about it. Because if you continue to respond in the same way that brought you pain and problems and continues this ongoing drama, you're going to get the same result. So, what? I don't know if you're jumping in to defend yourself if she starts picking on you or yelling at you. You got to do some different things. You got to just let her talk. Change the tempo. Be honest. Apologize if you are wrong or when you're wrong. You can't control her behavior. The only one in charge is you. Use I statements. I feel sad when you start screaming and yelling at me. It makes me really feel like you're not into this relationship. That kind of thing. If she's raging at you and blaming you, I don't know if you want to be in a relationship with someone like that. You know what I'm saying? So I would just think about it that way. You know, there's a lot of things you can do, and it's just not getting involved in drama. If she's just one of these people that likes to create, you know, continuing ongoing problems, maybe you should think about getting out of the relationship. Okay? All righty. We're going to move on right now. And this is Dr. Michelle with you. I'm doing Free for All Friday, where I answer a lot of your questions. You've written me stuff here at DocMichelle@AOL.com. And I'm looking through some of the questions And there seems to be a common theme here. It's just how to be better at relationships. You know, how to make things work. And this, so many people just are really having a hard time trying to work out how to talk with their partners, how to be controlling, how to not be controlling. It's just so common. Okay? So let me do this one here. Dear Doc, I've never been very good at relationships of any kind. I don't even know how or where to begin. I'm kind of awkward and tend to be independent. Okay. What advice can you give me about how to meet new people and feel good about myself? All right. I'm getting a lot of emails from guys lately. That's really interesting. All right. This is from Jonathan. And you know, relationships begin with you because you're half of any relationship you join. You've got to start with yourself. So you cannot count on someone else to cure a poor self-image. Okay. So stop looking for somebody to make and fill you up if that's what you're doing. It won't work. So here's some ideas that you might do to feel good about yourself. You got some self-esteem stuff going on, and you say you're not very good at relationships. That's fine. Maybe you didn't have a lot of modeling when you were growing up about how to be socially appropriate. Maybe you feel awkward and all that stuff. That's cool. But sometimes it's really a good idea to write down your best and most attractive qualities and really know them. Believe it. Honestly, you got to find some things about yourself. Don't make stuff up. Stuff that you really know that you have. You got to have some decent qualities, right? And avoid unrealistic standards or the all or nothing thinking. Yeah, yeah, that'll help your self-esteem. You know, if I don't do this job perfectly, I'm a total failure. Right? The black and white thinking. Right. Take compliments. That's a really good thing. If somebody says, you know, you look good, or that's a nice shirt, or you did a great job today at work or whatever, say thank you. Thanks. Thanks, man. Don't be embarrassed. Build your self-esteem. Take it in. Love it. Okay? Do some new things. Get out. Find hobbies you like. Just get into a group of, I don't know, what you might like. Hiking? I don't know. Movie club? Book club? Something like that? Find things where you can meet people and start talking about stuff that you have common. You know? To talk about. It's exciting. And don't expect overnight success. You know, close friendships, intimate love relationships, they take time to develop. But you have to get out there. You have to know that you're okay and find good things about yourself. And sometimes when you find a passion and you just kind of go into it and you meet new people that are involved in that passion, you'll just kind of start appreciating yourself a little more. There's nothing like being social to make you feel better. Even if you're feeling kind of crappy or you're tired and you're having a bad night and you're invited out or there's some kind of something you might want to attend, just get yourself out and do it. Just do it. You'll feel better. You may feel funky the first, you know, if your friends ask you to go out, whatever, let's do something, and you might just be going, because you're tired from work or you don't feel good about yourself. Just get your butt out. Just do it. You get your, you know, mind off yourself, and like in 20 minutes, you'll start thinking about what's going on out there. You'll start feeling better. Those are some ideas for you, and I hope I helped you out, Jonathan. Didn't mean to be too tough on you, but, you know, it's hard sometimes when you don't have a lot of self-esteem, and it's awkward to build social relationships. Just take to heart some things I said. Hopefully, that will help you. And this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. It's just about time to go. CBS News is coming up in a bit. And I hope you enjoyed being on the couch with me today. I sure did. If you would like to email me and, you know, ask questions, because I do have a lot of free-for-all Fridays, you can find me at DrMichelle@AOL.com. My website's DrMichelleTherapy.com. Dr. Michelle. Yeah, that's abbreviated too. Right here on LA Talk Radio's webpage where my show is, you can link on to how to contact me as well. My shows are all on iTunes, so go on into the iTunes store and find them. They're free. There's content. You can just find Dr. Michelle and On the Couch and all that. So check it out. Have a great day. I've enjoyed having you on the couch. And do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for other folks, too. All right. Hope I help. Have a great day. It's Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.